Today we're going to continue our series we started last week, brand new series on next level faith. Anybody today say, I want my faith to go to the next level? Raise your hand, but you. Say, I'm ready for my faith to increase, to go to the next level. Well, today we're going to the next level in our faith, and we had a great kickoff of that last week, and today we're going to go there. We're going to talk about how to grow my faith. How to grow my faith. We're going to give you some very practical things and get right into the scripture teaching on how our faith level grows. We should always be growing in our faith level. Let me say it again. We should always be growing in our faith level. Our Christian walk should look like this, is that I'm here this year, the next year I'm journeying along and I'm still growing, taking a higher level. Next year I should learn more about God and take a higher step. Next year I should learn a little bit more. Every year I should be growing in my knowledge of God. And as I grow in my knowledge of God, that helps me increase my faith level. It's important that we get this in our hearts. So it's important for us to learn to grow in our faith. Look at our text today, Hebrews 12:1. Look what it says in Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, since we are also surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Now, this whole chapter of Hebrews in chapter 12 is about faith. It's about continue to grow our faith, about the great men and women of faith. And that's what they're talking about, these great cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and sin which so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance. Everybody say endurance. Run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. We're called to run the race of endurance. How many here has ever decided, you know what, I'm going to get back into shape. Tomorrow morning, I'm going to get up at 6 a.m. I'm going to run 2 miles before I go to work. And I'm going to do that 5 times this week, and I'm going to lose some weight, get back into shape. Only to set your alarm, and you get up, man, you know, you're drinking your Gatorade and water, and maybe you had a protein shake, and you got your armbands on, your wristband on, you got your play set ready for your iPod, and you got your running shoes on, and you're looking good, and you take off to run. I'm going to run 2 miles a day, and you get out there, and you get about 2 blocks, and you're like, "Aah! My God, what was I thinking? This hurts." And we don't make it 2 miles. We were lucky to make it 2 blocks. And the next morning we hit snooze again. Well, we'll do it the next day. The next day turns into the next day because why? We were not in the shape we thought we were in. And it hurt. And to get into shape, we realize it's going to take time. Kind of like when you go to the gym and you get that membership for the first time. Remember when you're, I'm going to get back into shape, I'm going to lose a few pounds, I'm going to be able to run, and I'm going to get on the treadmill, I'm going to sit the treadmill or the elliptical for 45 minutes. And I'm going to get back into shape. And you get on there and you're like, oh, this is good. This is good. And 5 minutes into it, you're like, my legs are on fire. My lungs are full of lava. And you're wanting to give up and your legs are shaking. But the lady who's 30 years older than you next to you is just going like it's no problem. And you don't want to give up until she walks away. And you're in so much pain. Why? Because we haven't built up our endurance yet. See, we're called to run the race with endurance. And endurance only comes through stability. Endurance only comes through consistency. Endurance only comes when you take it a little at a time. And it takes time to grow that. See, our faith walk and our faith run, the race we're in, is one of endurance. It's learning to get there. You don't get there overnight. If you think you're going to be a faith giant overnight, it's not going to happen, okay? But it happens by every day just stretching yourself a little bit more. Every day going a little bit longer on the treadmill. Every day running just a little bit longer than you did the day before. And stretching yourself in your faith. That's what endurance is. It says we look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Remember we talked about it last week at salvation. I received the grace of God by faith. It takes faith to receive the grace of God. I believe he is the Messiah, that he has forgiven mankind of the sins. I confess my sin, confess him as Lord, and I receive by faith the grace. And then what happens? He becomes the author of my faith. And then I begin to walk this thing out with endurance, and then I go from becoming the author of faith. Now I put my faith back into the author and let him become the finisher of my faith. Author, finisher. Let's do it again. Author, and then as I run my race, he becomes the finisher of my faith. See, it's an race of endurance and growing my faith. We talked about last week the importance of faith in our life. There are so many things that faith is so foundational. Let me say, there's no other subject in the Bible I believe is more foundational and more important and affects every area of the Christian walk than this talk of faith. Our faith level affects us. It affects every area of our life. And we cannot afford, we said this last week, we can't afford to be elementary in our understanding of faith. It must grow. Our faith level must grow. Our knowledge of God must grow. We must see our faith level growing. Why? Because we're called to live by faith. He says the just, they live by faith. We live by faith. We got to answer this question today because we know that faith is the key to accessing the promise of God for our life. Faith is the key to accessing the promises of God for our life. It affects our prayer life. It affects how we receive grace. It affects God's promises in our life, His blessings. It affects so much. It's how we please the Lord. This is such an important issue to the heart of every believer. So let's ask ourselves this question, and we must answer each one individually. How do I see God? How do I see God? Do you see God as the big man upstairs? Sometimes I thank God. The big man upstairs. Is he the God of the baby in the Christmas story? Or has he become the God of our everyday life? See, that's the question we have to ask ourselves. Has he become the God of our everyday life? Because this is where our faith level grows when we make him and see him. How we perceive God will affect our faith level. How we perceive him will affect our faith level. Mark 6:3, look what it says about the story of Jesus. Jesus is trying to do ministry. He's back in his hometown trying to teach and heal. Look what happens. Their response is this. Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son, the brother of James, Joseph, Judah, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us? And they took offense. They were offended at him. Jesus said to them, a prophet's without honor except in his own town, among his relatives, in his own home. He could not do any miracles there except lay hands on a few sick people and heal them. He was amazed at what? Their lack of faith. See, how we perceive Jesus will affect our lack of faith. I want to be full of faith. Well, how do you see him? How we perceive him? As God of our life, Lord of our life, or is he just the God of Easter and the God of Christmas? I'm just saying, how we perceive him, he's just a big man upstairs. No, he's more than a big man upstairs. He's God Jehovah Rapha, the Lord my provider. He is my Messiah, Jesus, the one and only Son of God. He's not the big man upstairs. It sounds cute in the country song, but the theology is all wrong. He's more than the big man upstairs or the big guy. He is Jehovah Rapha, my Lord, the covenant-keeping God. How do you perceive God? They were doing this. They were looking at this and they're saying, all right, he's trying to be the Messiah. He's claiming to be the Messiah. He's teaching like the Messiah. He's teaching like the Son of God. He's trying to heal. But isn't this the guy who came over here with his dad and helped install our cabinets? Wasn't he the guy who built our kitchen table? Wait a minute. Wasn't this the guy that was over here with Simon and Joseph playing stickball out in the street when they were kids? There's no way. He's not the Messiah. There's no way. You see, only the people who perceived him as the Messiah, only those who perceived him as Lord were the ones who were able to receive their healing. That's why you've heard me teach before that it's possible that we could sit in a service like this or week after week, we can be places and the Spirit of God's being poured out. The Word of the Lord's being taught. And it can be poured out to everybody. And Maybe Donnie is catching it, and Donnie's receiving a full blessing because he is perceiving it and receiving it because his faith is there. God, I believe this word's for me. God, I believe your presence is here to touch me today. And everybody else in his role can miss it if they don't engage in faith. And Donnie can receive a blessing that nobody else received simply because he decided, by faith, I'm going to receive the presence of the Lord. By faith, I'm going to receive the teachings of the Scripture. By faith, I'm going to receive. You see, we can miss it, or we can reach out in faith and receive what God has for our life. How we perceive God will affect our faith level. By faith, we experience it. See, there's two things we see in Scripture that moved Jesus. The two things we see in Scripture was compassion and faith. We see all the time in Scripture when Jesus, it says that Jesus, full of compassion. Sometimes he was worn out, and sometimes the crowds have been following him all day, and he's trying to get away from the crowds, and he's trying sometimes to get a break, but yet he was moved with compassion. It says he was moved with compassion, and he healed. He was moved with compassion, and he touched. He was moved with compassion. Oftentimes it was just pure compassion that moved Jesus. Let me tell you, Jesus has compassion for you and I. He has compassion, and his compassion is so full of grace. And when you understand that his grace is so big and his compassion is so big for you and I, it moves you. And it moves him, the compassion. And other times it says that he was moved by people's faith. Remember the centurion who came to him. Jesus is trying to have a lunch and get a little time out break. He's like, Jesus, you don't have to get up. All you got to do is just say the word. Me being a man under authority, no, if I give my soldiers commands, they must obey it because it comes from me down the line. My men will obey it all the way down the line. If you'll just say the word, my daughter will be healed. My servant will be healed. Remember these times. What did Jesus say? It says he was astonished by his faith. He says he was astonished, moved by his faith. Remember the blind man who cried out when Jesus was walking by. They were blind. And he said, Jesus, son of David. See that word, son of David, Jesus, son of David, what's that mean? That means they are saying, Jesus, the son of David, the Messiah who was prophesied about. Here are two guys who were physically blind, could not see, but yet when Jesus came by faith, they said, here's the Messiah. He was like, even these, some of my disciples haven't even got this yet. Some of my followers haven't even got this yet. And here are two blind guys, by faith, reaching out, proclaiming, I'm the Messiah. And he was moved by their faith, and he touched them, and he healed them. See, faith moves the heart of God. Faith touches the heart of God. We got to realize that our faith will respond to God. Look what Revelation 12:11 says. 12:11 says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. This is how we overcome. When an enemy comes against us, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb, using our spiritual authority. It says we also overcome by the word of their testimony. Let me tell you, so God has done something for you, tell somebody. When God does something for you, tell somebody. When God does something great in your life, tell somebody. Why? Because it encourages you, and it encourages those hearing it. I want to hear when God does something great in your life. It encourages me when you share those with me. Find somebody. Tell somebody. Listen today. If you've ever received a supernatural healing from God, can you just raise up, stand up? Man, I'm telling you, God is in the house. Look at this. Man, come on. Tell somebody. I want you to sit down. I'm going to continue with that illustration just a little bit. I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm going to use that at the end of my message as well. I'm going to have you stand back up again. Okay, will you do that? All right. Because there's the point I want to go to, and I don't want to get to it too soon because I'll get off track where I need to be. But remember this, that when God does something in your life, tell somebody. Why? Because it's important that you hear what God is doing. It's important that you verbalize what God is doing. Our first response in a crisis really defines a lot. Listen, 2 Corinthians 10:5, look what it says here. 2 Corinthians 10:5, casting down the arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. We're to cast down every argument and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Why is that? Because as my knowledge of God increases, my faith level increases. And so Scripture says anything that will stop me from knowing the deeper level of relationship of who God is, I've got to come against that. I've got to take those thoughts captive. I've got to take those habits captive. I got anything that will stop me from growing who God is, I've got to take those things captive and cast them down and say, no, 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 no. I've got to surrender to growing in the knowledge of who God is. Because as my knowledge grows of God, then my faith increases. The more our knowledge of God increases, the more our faith grows. This is the principle. Cast off anything. Our first response when we face a crisis should be, God, I'm looking to you. Now, whoever you look to in a crisis, that's usually what you get. First, that's usually what you're facing. Where do you go when you face a crisis? What's the first thing you do? That's usually the person. For some people, the first thing we do is we go to social media, Facebook, or something else. When our first response really should be to God. What is our faith really in? Come on, I'm just talking to where we are. We're natural. Sometimes we go to certain people or we go to certain things. Wherever you go when your crisis hits, this is where our faith lies. Our first response should be when we hit a crisis, that God, I'm leaning on you. God, I'm coming to you. God, my faith is in you. There's an old hymn that says, leaning on the everlasting arms. That should be the prayer. God, I am learning to lean on you. I am learning to trust in you. God, you're the first response when I face something in my life. You should be the first one I run to. See, the strength of our faith will be determined by the reliability of the object we put our faith in. The strength of our faith will be determined by the reliability of the object we put our faith in. Let me give you an example. For those of you who have kids, and I have five, and so I understand this principle very much, that I have kids that will say, Dad, I want to go do this, go outside and play basketball, or I want to go to my friend's house and go swimming, or I want to go this or that. Things are going on. I say, okay, but the first thing I need you to do is put your laundry away, go to your room, clean your room up, and I want your room cleaned up before you do anything else today, okay? They go upstairs, they do it, and they walk back down. Now, there's some kids that I can say that to, and I know that if I go up there, it's done. They put everything away. They've got it all done. I don't have to go up and double check before they leave. Other of my kids, they walk downstairs. Like, no, don't leave just yet. Let's walk upstairs together. Let's go into your room. And I know that it's probably going to be about 3/4 of the way done. Then I walk in there. They're going to have the bed made, a few other things done. But they probably have a few things stuffed here and there that they didn't take time to put away the way they need to. I say, hey, you did a real good job, but go ahead and finish it up. Get this and this done. You can leave. And I can walk away knowing it's done. I have other kids. I know the minute I tell them that when I hear them begin to walk downstairs, I say, don't even walk downstairs yet. And I walk up there and they haven't even touched that room. And I know that. My faith level is determined by the reliability of the object we put it in. Any parents understand my pain? You know what I'm talking about. This is the same level we have for God. If we have reliability of the object we put our faith in, that will determine our faith level. And so this is important that we understand who God is, what God wants for me, his promises for my life, the security he brings me, the faithfulness of who he is as this grows, as our faith will grow when our knowledge of God grows. Let's say it again. Our faith will grow when our knowledge of God grows. Romans 10:17 says faith comes by what? By hearing. And hearing by the word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. Let's say it together. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. My faith grows as I hear the word of the Lord. I hear it in when I speak to him and he speaks back. I hear it when I open up the scripture and I read it. I hear it when a message is being taught. I hear it when the courses are being sung. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. And the more I hear of God's goodness, the more I hear of God's faithfulness, the more I hear of God's grace, the more I hear of God's healing, the more I hear of how God will never leave me nor forsake me, the more my faith level grows. Because my knowledge of God is growing. This is important. I must have faith in the author of the word. He is the author and the finisher of my faith. He's the author and the finisher of my faith. I must have faith in the author. Otherwise, my faith level is not going to grow. It's always going to remain right there at a very elementary preschool level. But as I understand, I put my faith back into the author that he is in control. He will finish my race. My trust is in him. My life belongs to him. I'm learning every day what it means to surrender my life to him. It grows. So today, I want to give you some things today. I'm going to close out this message with five things I want you to know about God. Five things to know about God so our faith can grow. These five things, I believe, are foundational. Five things that will build the foundation of your knowledge of God so that you can begin to take steps. Without the foundation knowledge of this, it's hard to grow. And so I'm going to give this to you at the core of the foundation of who God is that you need to know about our God. Number one, you must first of all believe that God exists. You must believe that he exists. It sounds elementary, I know, but this is where it all starts. You must believe that God exists. Look what Hebrews 11:6 says. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is. Everybody say, he is. We must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He is. He is. He is. Not he was. Not that he will be. But he is the ever-present God. You must believe that he exists today for me. I must believe he exists today. He is still God today. Just not the God of the past, but he's the God of today. He is. It's important that you see that God exists today. Look what Romans 1:20 says. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen. Very clear to us, right? Being understood from what's been made so that people are without excuse. Now, let me paraphrase it for you, okay? This is what he was saying. That when we walk outside and we look at the sky and we see the blue sky and we see the clouds, and we think about these clouds are absorbing the moisture and they're bringing it and releasing the rain the time that God says it to be released, watering the fields, watering and giving us water to survive. And our bodies are made up of 70% water. And so, therefore, we got to have water to exist. And the fact that God is bringing it in the clouds and bringing it and dropping it for us to use, not only for plantation and crops and to grow things and the water, but for the animals and for us. That the sun is just the exact distance from the earth that it needs to be, that we are warmed and we receive the same amount of light that we need to daily for things to grow, for things to be alive. If it was any closer, we'd burn up. Any further away, we'd freeze to death. But we're in the exact spot. That the fish of the field, the fish in the ocean, and the birds of the air, the animals of the field, we're here for us. When you look at these things, you think that one seed goes into the ground. A tree can grow from that, producing much fruit, much harvest, and many people can be fed, and many seeds can be given out of that one thing, out of that one seed. I mean, it was mind-blowing. He says, there's no way you can walk out and see that and not say, there must be a God. There's no way. He goes, there's no excuse. There's no way. Even a Picasso, you look at it, you can't take a blank canvas and take a bunch of paint and just throw it on there and walk back and go, there's a Picasso. No, you got to have somebody take it. And an artist must create that artwork. It must be put into order. Something as simple as my watch has a maker and a creator. Think about it. To think that two molecules escaped from the earth so far away that finally they collided in the universe and bang, they exploded. And out of that explosion, everything fell into order. That the ocean landed where it needed to be. The land landed where it needed to be. The birds of the air landed where they needed to be. My eyes landed where they needed to be. Can you imagine if my arms landed like this and not like this? What if my mouth landed? Okay, let's just think about it here. But think about it. I mean, the order of the veins and the cell structure. My heart The way our body's made up, the nerve endings, everything. Everything came into exact order. Off of a bang? Come on, it takes more faith to believe in evolution than it does to believe in creation. Everything has a creator. Everything has a creator. Do I believe in evolution? I believe in God made evolution. I believe that species evolve over time. I believe that they adapt their environment. I believe that as people and the animals and fish and people, they all breed and produce, that things happen, man. And species evolve over time to climate and the heat and change and temperature. That happens. That's the way God evolves things. But I believe that everything came from the Creator. Let me say again, I believe everything came from the Creator. It takes a lot more faith to believe in the Big Bang. Someone, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Someone said, do you believe in the Big Bang? I said, yes, I believe it. God spoke it and bang, there it was. See, he said, there's no excuse. There's no excuse when you really think about it. When you look at God's creation, the things he's made, there's no excuse to believe that he exists. It takes faith to believe. It takes faith to believe. Number two, we must believe that God does not change. His nature is this, that God does not change. Look at Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ is the same when? Yesterday and today and when? Forever. Let's say it together. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. All together. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. God does not change. This is his nature. My faith level rises when I know if he did it for Daniel, if I know that he did it for Moses, if I know that he did it for Saul, if he did it for Paul, if he did it for Peter, if he did it for the three Hebrew children, that God can do it for me and you. If he did it for grandma, if he did it for mom or dad or grandpa, he can do it for me. Today, let's have you one more time. Today, if you were healed, if you ever had a supernatural healing, I want you to stand up right now. See, if you need a healing in your body, I want you to look. God is the same. The same God that healed them can heal you. Come on now, give God a hand clap. If God's ever done a financial miracle in your life, I want you to stand right now. If God's ever done a financial miracle, stand in your right now. Look, if God did it for them, he can do it for you and I. Come on now. Has God ever repaired a relationship in your life that you thought was lost or broken, destroyed, and God supernaturally repaired that? Stand up, that happened to you. Come on, if God did it for them, he can do it for you. Come on now, if God did it for them, he can do it for you. He's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. As we look around, he's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. If he did it for you, he can do it for me. He can do it for you. God is a God who does not change. He is the great I am. He is the Jehovah Rapha, the Lord, our covenant-keeping God. You can be seated. We must believe that God does not change. Number three, I must believe God does not lie. I must believe that God does not lie. Look what it says in Hebrews 6:17. Because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of his purpose very clear to the heirs of those of what was promised. He confirmed it with an oath. God did this so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie. It is impossible for God to lie. It is impossible for God to lie, which means if he said it, he will fulfill it. If he promised it, you can have it. We know this, that God, when God said he will never leave you, never forsake you, you can hang on to that. He will not lie. He cannot lie. We see this happening there. Today, I love this verse in Romans 4:17, as we learn about his character. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. He is our father in the sight of God, in whom he believed, the God who gives life to the dead and calls into being things that were not. He gives life to the dead and calls into being things that were not. The same God that looks out. And you say, man, my situation looks so dark. It looks dead. The same God that looked out into darkness and said, let there be light, and there was light, is the same God that can look into your situation that looks dead and hopeless and say, you know what? I'm calling into order that part of your life. I'm calling back into order that part of your life. And God can call the things out of darkness and bring them back to life. He can breathe life back into the things that have died in your life. The visions, the dreams, the relationships. God can breathe back life into things that seem like they're dead. God can bring back the life into them and breathe it right back again. He's the God who does not lie. He calls the dead back to life. And he calls the things that are not as though they were. This is our God. And number four, I must believe in his ability. I must believe in his ability. Last week we read the story and talked about Abraham and Sarah. When God promised Sarah and Abraham that they were going to have a son way beyond the years of childbearing years. Remember we read that and Sarah laughed. Was like, how can I have a baby with that guy? He's so old and I'm so old. It was way past those years for our life. This is not even physically possible. And she laughed to herself. And remember what God said to her? He came to her and said, is there anything too hard for God? Is there anything too hard for God? I must believe in his ability. Let's say it all together. We said it last week out loud. I want you to say it out loud with me this week. Is there anything too hard for God? Come on. Is there anything too hard for God? One more time. Is there anything too hard for God? This should be the prayer of faith that we say, we quote, we sing it, whatever it is. You get it out there. When you're facing something, you say, God, there's nothing too hard for you. God, there's nothing too hard for your grace. God, there's nothing too hard for your healing power. God, there's nothing too hard that you can't restore. God, there's nothing too hard for you. Is there anything too hard for God? This must be in the heart of every believer. And the last thing today. Number five, God wants to help you. You got to know this. Beyond a shadow of a doubt, you got to know this in your spirit. God wants to help you. God wants to help you. Look at the scripture in Matthew 7. Matthew 7 through 11, chapter 7. Ask. Everybody say ask. There's a novel thought, right? Ask. And it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more? How much more? How much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Listen, we got to perceive and know that God wants to bless us. God wants to help us. My kids, maybe you understand this as well with your kids. There's times that my kids will come to me and I'll tell them, don't you ask me for another thing today. Any parents can relate to the pain. Okay, you know, they've been draining you with this, I need this, I need that, I need this and this, that. And sometimes you're like, all right, maybe it was yesterday or maybe it's in the last busy week or whatever. Guys, don't ask me for another thing today. And sure enough, what'll happen? My kids will come up next to me and put their arm around me. How's the best dad in the world? How's the greatest dad in the universe? Hello, Father. And they come up, and I'm like, okay, what's going on? Dad, can I? You know why they do that? Because even though they know I said don't ask, they know there's a chance. If they come up and butter me just right, then my heart will be soft. And I'll probably give in. Sometimes I'll say no. Sometimes I was like, I told you, don't ask me. I'm not. We're out. We're done. Come on, just like you. Sometimes to a fault, though, I'm like, okay. I guess you've had a good afternoon. Why? And I'll go ahead and say yes and bless them. Why? Because deep down in my heart, I want to bless my kids. Even when they've been a knucklehead, even when they've blown it, I want to bless my kids. It's hard for me as a parent not to bless my kids. To a fault. You guys are the same way. You understand what I'm saying. Is this a soft spot? When your kids come and ask, this is hard sometimes. Sometimes it's necessary, but sometimes we give it anyway. Why? Because to a fault, we want to bless our kids. And he says, us who are evil. Think about how much more God, who is good, wants to bless you and I. How much more does God want to bless you and I if we will just say, God, I need you. God, I'm asking of you. God, I need your help. God, I've blown it, but I need you. God, I need you. How much more will God come if we just ask, if we just knock, if we just seek? You got to see in your mind, you got a picture in your heart that God wants to do good things for his kids. God wants to help you. God wants to bless you. God wants to restore. God wants to do this. We just got to set a heart for it. I'm going to ask the musicians to come this morning. As they do today, I hope today that in your mind, in your heart, you're saying, Pastor, I'm ready for my faith level to grow. I'm ready for God to grow my faith. I'm ready for God to grow my faith at a different level. If you're receiving this word today, anybody receive this word today? Anybody receive this? Say, I needed this today. Thank you. Thank you. That's what I want you to do. I want to invite you to stand on your feet with me today. Today, I want you to join me as we simply make the prayer of our hearts, saying, God, I want to grow in my faith level. I want to grow in my knowledge of who you are. As my knowledge of you grows, I want my faith level to grow as well. We're going to close with this song, simple song. We do it a lot around here, and it simply says, let a fire burn in my heart. I want more of you, Lord. Let it burn deep within. I want more of you, Lord. Today, if you want to make that your prayer, anybody here say, I want that to be my prayer. God, I want to know you at a deeper level. God, I want to know you more. I want to have my knowledge of you increase. I want my relationship to grow closer to you. God, I want to know who you are at a deeper level. As we close with this song today, if you want to join me in the front, I'm going to invite you to step out. We got plenty of time here this morning. I'll give you a chance just to respond to the altar. Step out, come to the front, and join me in prayer. Say, God, I want to grow in you. Let's make it the prayer of our heart.
Join us as we sing it this morning. Come on, let's sing it like this. There's no place I'd rather be. No place I'd rather be. There's no place I'd rather be than here in your love. Here in your love.
Set a fire down in my soul.
Father, we just make it our prayer, personal prayer today. That God, you grow us in our faith. That God, we lean on you, God, in our times of not understanding. God, you are the first one that we run to in our time of trouble. And God, I pray that God, you begin to increase our knowledge of you. God, you begin to increase, Lord, that we know that your nature and your character, God, who you are as a loving Father. That God, we run to you. God, we don't just go to anybody else. God, we go to you first, God, saying that you are the source of our help. You are the source of our strength. And God, today we are increasing by faith. We say we are increasing, Lord, our faith level in you and the knowledge of who you are. And God, this is a season of next level faith. And God, you're stretching all of us, God. And I pray right now, God, that we would put our full trust in you. And we say together, amen. Put your hands together if you believe that word this morning. Now listen, today you've got a long weekend and We just want to wish you a very happy 3rd and 4th of July. Enjoy your time with your friends, your family. Please, be careful. I don't want anybody to come back next week losing a few fingers because they were holding firecrackers in their hands. Okay? Be careful. God bless you. You guys have a great, great holiday weekend.